Masechet Pesachim has been dedicated by Mr. Ike J. Shehebar in honor of his grandparents, Mr. Ike and Jeanette Beebe. We bless Mr. Ike Shehebar, who's been a sponsor of the Daf Yomi for many days. They should continue to enjoy success, health, and happiness. May his grandparents also enjoy much nachat from him as well as all their grandchildren, and may they only share in simachot for the entire family. Amen.
Daf Nun He. Today's daf has been dedicated in honor of the rabbi by Mr. Nissim Afriat. Today's daf is being studied by Adun Ashmat Lacham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem, Tanihem began Eden, Amen. Today's daf is being studied, Rifuah Shinema Yaakov ben Ora, Enna Rifanado, Betoch She'ar Chode Amo Yisrael, Amen. We are beginning on Daf Nun He, Amud Rishon, on the top line. If you remember, the Mishnah said that some places had a minhag not to work on Tisha B'Av, and some places have a minhag to work on Tisha B'Av. Each place would follow their own minhag. However, in all places, Tamidei Chachamim do not work on Tisha B'Av. At that point, Rabban Shmuel Gamliel said, "Le'olam ya'aseh adam atzmo tamid chacham." A person has the right to act like a tamid chacham. And therefore, even if he's in a place that has the minhag to work, he's able to abstain from working like a tamid chacham. And the hadush of Rashbag was that it's not considered gava; it's not considered arrogant if he takes off and takes the style of a tamid chacham. So you see clearly that Rashbag is not hoshesh for what we call yuhara. Yuhara is arrogance or gava. So you might say, hey, he doesn't have a right to act like a Tamil Hakam. Only Tamil Hakamim can take off. Who's this regular layman that's acting like a Tamil Hakam? Elias, see what? Rashbag is not concerned about the principle of, or the concept of Yuhara. So the Gemara says, Lememra, the Rabban, Shemom, Gamliel, Savar, Lo Haishin, and the Yuhara. Do you mean to tell me that the Rabban, Shemom, Gamliel is not concerned about Gava? Therefore, the guy is allowed to act like a Tamid Hakam. V'Rabbanan, Savri, and the rabbis that argued, I mean the rabbis did not say that a regular layman can act like a Tamid Hakam. They said only Tamidei Hakamim. Haishinan liyuhara. Their logic must be that they are concerned that it's ga'ava for a regular layman to take on the way of Tamidei Hakamim. V'Ifcha Shamainan lihu. But we've heard the exact opposite in a different machloket. Ditnan, we learned in Masechet Berachot. Hatan, im yirtze lekrot kriyat shema laila harishon, kore. A hatan, if he wants to read kriyat shema on the first night of his wedding, according to Hachamim, he has a right to read. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Amar, lo kol harotze litol et Hashem yitol. Not everybody that wants to take the name can take the name. What is this machloket based on? A hatan on the first night, he's preoccupied his mind with the mitzvah of being with his wife. And therefore, it's very difficult for him to have kavanah for kriyat shema. However, pious, righteous people, of course, would be able to have kavanah and kriyat shema under all circumstances. So the hakamim said, hatan, if he wants to read kriyat shema, or if he thinks that he's on the level that he could have kavana, Hakamim say he has the right. So what do you see over there? The Hakamim are not concerned about gava, because a person is allowed to say, yes, I'm from those that can have kavana under all circumstances. Whereas Rabban Shimon Gamliel said, no, not everybody can take the name of a pious man and a righteous man and read. Only people that are known to be devout can read if they're a hatan on the first night, but otherwise you cannot. That she says, "Nitolo et Hashem keter perishut v'yirat het," which means not everybody can wear the crown of abstinence and fear of sin. She'enu yachol lebatel leminu malchut shema mefilu la'lahat, where he says, "Oh, I can't even miss shema one night." Well, not everybody's on that level, and therefore you see that Rashbag clearly holds what yuhara. He holds of the concept of ga'ava. Whereas in the machloket over here, it's the exact opposite. Hachamim are the ones that are concerned about gava, and the bunchman over there is not. So the Gemara says we have a stira from this machloket by Tisha B'Av to the machloket by Achatan. Amar Rabbi Yohanan muhlefet tashita. So Rabbi Yohanan says one of the opinions you have to switch around, which means in order to make peace between these opinions, you're either going to have to switch to shitot in Masechet Pesachim by Tisha B'Av or Masechet Berachot. And therefore, for example, if you switch the ones in Masechet Berachot, then you'll make Hachamim the one saying, not Kol HaRotzini Tualat Hashem, not everybody has a right to, to take the name of put the crown of Pirishut on him, and therefore they're concerned about Ga'ava, and the Rabbi will say, no, if the Hatam wants to reconnect you and he feels that he can have Kavana, he can. So by switching the Shitot to Masechet Berachot, you've reconciled the variance of opinions. Rav Shisha b'red Rav Idi Amar lo tipuch. Rav Shisha comes and says, no, I can resolve this conflict without even having to switch opinions. D'rabanan l'kasha. There's no question on the rabbis from the rabbis. Meaning the rabbis by us, by Tisha B'Av, said what? That only Tamidei Hachamim can take off. But a regular layman is Ga'ava. By Kiryat Shema, however, he allowed any type of Hatan to read the Kiryat Shema. They weren't concerned about Ga'ava. How do you reconcile? Hacha, by Tisha B'Av, Kevan, Dekule Alma Avde Menacha. Since he's in a place where everybody's doing work, on Tisha B'Av, V'yu lo avid, and he's not, Nechzike Yuhara. Looks like Ga'ava, because he's doing something, or he's not doing something that everybody else is doing, so he stands out. Aval Hatam, Kevan, Dekule Alma Kari, by Kiryat Shema, everybody else is reading Kiryat Shema that night of his wedding, V'yu Namekare, he's also reading, Lo Nechzike Yuhara. Because there, he's not standing out. There, he's just doing something that everybody else is doing as well. So that's why the rabbis will tell you, no problem. And we can answer similarly for the Rabbi Gamliel. Hatam hu deba'inan kabana. When it comes to Kiryat Shema, what's the reason why we tell the Hatan is patur? Because you need kabana. That's the whole issue. The anan sadeh, and we can testify, and we know de lo matze tchavune dachte. We know a regular guy, unless he's known to be some sort of tzaddik, when his mind is preoccupied with another type of mitzvah, he's not going to be able to have kavana in Kiryat Shema. Fact. Mechziki yuhara. So for a hatan, that's a regular guy, to start saying the Kiryat Shema, people can say, hey, look at this guy, what do you think he is? All of a sudden, some sort of tzaddik. Avalacha, lo mechziki yuhara. But if a guy is in a place, on the Tisha B'Av, where everybody's working, and he takes off, it's not gava. Why? Amre melacha hu delete. The people will just say, he's unemployed. People are not going to know why he's taking off. Puk hazeh, go out and see, kama batlane ikabeshuka. How many batlanim are in the marketplace? Which means that any given day, there's always people that don't have work. So therefore, the bunch of people going to say, it's not gava. If a regular layman wants to act like a tamid hakam and not work on the Tisha B'Av, nobody's going to think. They'll say, hey, probably just doesn't have work today. Comes the Mishnah. והחכמים אומרים, והחכמים כמו לא נסד, ביהודה, in the area, in יהודה, which is the area in ארץ ישראל, היו עושים מלאכה בהרבה פסחים. They used to do work on ערב פסח, עד חצות, until חצות. ובגליל, לא היו עושים כל עיקר. But in the Galil region, they did not. If you remember, we had a previous Mishnah we discussed, where there was a variant minhagim regarding working on Erev Pesach before Chatzot. After Chatzot, everybody agreed was Asur. Question was before Chatzot. So some had a minhag, some didn't have minhag. So now the Mishnah is giving you regions. Hakamim tell us that in Yehuda, the custom was to do melaka, hayu osin melaka, until Chatzot. And in Galil, it says, lo hayu osin. Okay? So comes the comes the Mishnah continues. Halayla, what about the night of the 14th? Which means till now we always discussed the morning of the 14th, Erev Pesach, up until Chatzot. Minhag to work, minhag not to work. Now the Gemara discusses, Mishnah discusses the night before. Meaning that's the night of Bedikat Hametz. What's the law of working legabe that? So the Gemara says, Halayla, Bet Shammai Osrin, Ubet Tirel Matirim Adanetz Hama. So Bet Shammai is Osir. Work even by the night, and Beit Hillel says no, it's mutar up until sunrise. Now, obviously, the Gemara is going to ask a question. Who's talking about Isur over here? Till now, we're discussing Minhag. All of a sudden, Abet Shammai throws in, at the night already, it's Asur. Who's talking about Asur over here? Since when do we have a deen of Isur and Eter? So the Gemara right away asks the question. Me'ikara Tana Minhaga. Which means, originally, in the beginning of our Perek, the Mishnah discussed Minhag. Some have Minhag to work, some have not to work. And all of a sudden, you start bringing me now Isur. Because now it seems you're up to level of this. I don't even hag anymore. Now you tell me already it's a deen. So what happened over here? Amar Rabbi Yohanan Nakasha. No question. Ha Rabbi Meir, Ha Rabbi Yehuda. Yeah. The Mishnah early is following one Tana, Rabbi Meir. And the Mishnah over here, Bet Shammai, telling you that it's Asur, is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. What are these opinions? What else says? The Tanya, we have a Braita. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, this is a Braita. Biyuda, you osin melacha barbe pesachim ad chatzot. In Yehuda, they used to do work on erev Pesach until chatzot. Ubagalil, in the Galil region, enam osin kol ekar. They would not work at all. Amar lo Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir comes to Rabbi Yehuda and tells him, Ma ra'iya Yehuda veGalil lekan. What are you bringing me, Yehuda and Galil? What's your purpose to start giving me regions? Eda makom shenagu la'asot melacha osin, makom shenagu shelo la'asot en osin. Which means, the Rabbi Meir comes to the Rabbi Yehuda and says, we have a formula already. Wherever the minhag was to do melacha, you do melacha. Whatever the minhag is not do melacha, you don't do melacha. Which means, what are you throwing in me now? Yehuda had a minhag. Yehuda, are you osin melacha, Galil? No, are you osin? Didn't we have already a principle already? Which means, go with the rules. When it's Minhag, it's Mutar. When it's Minhag, it's Isur. It's Isur. Wouldn't you go out of your way to start quoting us regions? So the Gemara says, Medeka'amara Bimi'ir Minhaga. From the fact that the Bimi'ir clearly writes, Minhag, meaning Makom Shinahagu, Mechlal de Rabbi Yehuda Isura Ka'amar. Must be the Rabbi Yehuda was saying something different. Must be Rabbi Yehuda was holding that in the places that didn't do melacha, they held its isur. Because otherwise we have no machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, because basically they're saying the same thing. I mean, if Rabbi Yehuda was also saying, in Galil they had a minhag this way, and in Yehuda they had a minhag that way, and Rabbi Meir is coming to ask on him, what do you mean? Whatever the minhag is. Right, that's what I just said. They had a minhag this way, they had a minhag that way. Obviously Rabbi Meir is reacting to something different than Rabbi Yehuda said. And Rabbi Yehuda must be coming along to say in Yehuda that they have a minhag to do melacha because they hold it's mutar. But in Galil that they have a minhag, it's not a minhag. In Galil that they don't do melacha, it's isur. So to that, Rabbi Yehuda said, oh, what are you talking about, isur? Well, it's depending on the minhag. You made it to isur, so therefore comes out, we see we have a machloket, tanaim, between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, the extent of the melacha that's forbidden on Erev Pesach. Rabbi Meir says, Minhag. So the previous Mishnah that we had, that said, Makom Shinahagul La'asot, Makom Shinahagul, that's clearly Rabbi Meir. The Mishnah over here by us, that says, Beit Shammai Osrin, by Beit Shammai say, Melachas Asur, that obviously has to be following the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Right? And we could say, that the first part of the Mishnah, Vachamim Omrim, Bihuda you osin melacha, Barbe Pesem Adrasot Ubagalilua you osin kol ikar. There you can say either way. You can either say that this is following Rabbi Meir, and it's based on Minhag, or you could say it's going like Rabbi Yehuda, and it's going Isur. So the first part of our Mishnah can go either way. That's a swing. It can either go like Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yehuda. But clearly the previous Mishnah that clearly said Makom Shinahagu, that can only be Rabbi Meir. And this Shita of Beit Shammai here that says Osrin, that's clearly going like Rabbi Yehuda. So what did we gain so far? We're learning now a new Shita that places the Isur on Erev Pesach in Isur, not just in custom. So comes the Gemara and says, וסבר ביהודה ארבע עשר מותר בעשיית מלאכה. So the governor says, does Rabbi Yehuda hold that on the 14th it is mutar בעשיית מלאכה? Because he came along and said Bnei Yehuda Matirim. Right? The Bnei Yehuda, the Braita. He gave a Hiduk between different places. Right? He said, Bnei Yehuda, the people of Yehuda, they worked. So, the Gemara is even challenging that. Does the Bnei Yehuda even hold that there was a region that held it was mutar to do Melacha? Why? Gemara says, Ve'atanya, we have a Braita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, Hamnachesh b'shlosha asar. A guy was doing some weeding. He was pruning his field. He was taking out the weeds from his field on the 13th of Nisan. The 13th of Nisan is nothing. You're allowed to do Melacha on the 13th of Nisan. V'ne'akra b'yado. And by mistake, he ended up pulling out some of his plants. So now, he has the plant in his hand, wheat, let's say, whatever it was, so he wants to replant it. So the Gemara says, Shotla bimkom atit. So you're allowed to go replant it, but in the place of the teat, like of the muddy area. Why would he, Dafka, put it in that place? So that she says, Shememaher likalet kodem ha'omer. Which means, let's review. This is the 13th of Nisan over here. On the 16th of Nisan, they would bring what's called Korban HaOmer in the Beit HaMikdash. Mm-hmm. What was Korban HaOmer? Any plant that was rooted, that had taken root before the 16th of Nisan, that produce that would come from that plant would now become mutar. Which means you cannot eat the new wheat, let's say, until the Korban HaOmer is brought. Which means all the wheat that was planted and rooted from before the 16th of Nisan is asur until the Korban HaOmer is brought. Once the Korban HaOmer is brought, now everybody's allowed to eat all the old wheat. We call that the Yashan. What makes it old? So long as it took root before the 16th, it's considered Yashan. Anything that did not take root before the 16th of Nisan, so now you have to wait until the following Pesach, until the 16th of Nisan, to eat it. So it's advantageous to the farmer. He wants to make sure that his wheat takes root before. Now what happened? This guy over here, when he was taking out the weeds, he pulled out some chitan now. So now it's the 13th of Nisan. The guy's got 3 days. So what does the guy do? The Gemara gives him advice. Make sure when you plant it in a place that it will take root quickly. And where's that area? The muddy area, the teat over there. So it'll take, which obviously it's a 3 day item. In the 13th, you plant it. So 13th, 14th, and 15th. So if about the 16th already, you're done. So that's the Gemara's advice, right? Ve'en shotla bimkom hagarid. But you should not plant it in the place of garid. That she says it's a dry area. Why? Because it's not going to take root, and you're going to miss the zman. So Gemara says, Bishlosha asar in. Clearly, Rabbi Yehuda only allowed you to do the weeding and the planting when? 13th. On the 13th. Why didn't he let me do it on the 14th? Ela must be, because on the 14th he holds, it's Isur. Minadin. Like Rabbi Yehuda, that we saw that Chita. And he must hold it's Isur everywhere. And therefore, how could Rabbi Yehuda, you tell me that he holds Mutar in Yehuda? Obviously, Rabbi Yehuda holds it's Isur. Now maybe you'll tell me, no. Maybe the reason why he doesn't want you to do it on the 14th, he's just giving you advice. Because if you do it on the 14th, you're not going to make it for the Omer. That's not so. Because it takes 3 days for it to take root. So you have the 14th, part of the 14th at least. We have a rule, Miksata Yom Kikulo. That's only you get part of the day, it counts as a day. So you have the 14th, the 15th, and part of the 16th. So that couldn't have been the reason. For Hashlasha purposes, even if you do it on the 14th, you'd make it. So therefore, why didn't he tell me that why couldn't I plant on the 14th? He only told me plant on the 13th. Must be because on the 14th it is Isur. So the Gemara says, Mechdi. Shem'ina le'el Rabbi Yehuda de'amar. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, kol harkava she'en ha'koletet l'shlosha yamim, shuv en ha'koletet. Right? Unless it's in the ground for 3 days, right? If it doesn't take root within 3 days, it's not going to take root. Which means when you're replanting something, so you have a 3 day window. If it takes root within 3 days, you're good. After 3 days, it's not taking root. So therefore he says, V'isak ha-dakar ba'asar mutar ba'asiyat melakha, if he holds the 14th is indeed mutar ba'asiyat melakha, lama li shlosha asar? Why do I need the 13th? V'aika arbisar, v'hamisar, u'miksat shitzar. Went on the 14th. And I get 3 days. I got my 14th. I got the 15th and part of the 16th that you bring the Korban HaOmer. And from the fact that he told me, no, when do you replant it? On the 13th, must be old 14th is? Isur. That's the Gemara's question. Amar Abba. So Rabbi answers very simply. Yeah, Begalil Shanu. Over there, Rabbi Udad that said you can't plant on the 14th, it's about the Galil region. Which means there's different regions. And in the Galil region, they held it was Asur. But in the Yehuda region, could be, it's Mutar. Which means, could be, there was different areas that held differently. Exactly, had a different psak. So the Gemara says, wait, Vayika Laila. Alright, even in the Galil region, that say it's Asur. So they can't do it on the 14th. But they could have done it on the 13th. Night after the 13th. Right, which is the Layl al-Ba'asar. When did Galil say it's Asur? Galil would say it's Asur during the day. But why couldn't the Biuda give the advice, let them plant it the night before? Why is he telling them they got to plant it on the 13th? Yeah. So something's strange. Why are you telling me Galil? If it's Galil, they could have done it the night before. Amar Rav Sheshat ke Bet Shammai. No, the people of Galil subscribe to Bet Shammai's opinion. What did Bet Shammai say now, Mishnah? That even the night is Asur. Right? Bet Shammai said, Balayla, Bet Shammai Oslim. So it could be the people of Galil held not only the 14th by day is Asur, Minadin, but the night before also. So that's why it wasn't an option for them. Well, I can tell you no. That the people in Galil held like Bet Shammai. That what? That the Isur doesn't come until the morning, meaning the night is Mutar. So why don't they plant at night? They fish in the country from Adam and Nechesh Balayla. Very simple, because people don't usually go de-weed their fields and do gardening at night. It's nothing to do with halachic concerns. That's why the Buddha said, let them do it on the 13th. You can't do it on the 14th because now there's Asur. Do it at night. You don't, like you said, you don't garden at night. Rabbi Na'amar, Le'olam Bihuda. Rabbi Na'amar comes along and says, no. Really, we're talking about the area of Yehuda, where it's permissible to do melacha on the 14th. Also, if it's permissible to do melacha on the 14th, why then did the Yehuda say, Davka, they should do the gardening on the 13th and plant on the 13th? If it's in Yehuda, they can even do it on the 14th. So the Gemara says, Ubashrasha, when it comes to the law of Hashrasha, meaning you're waiting for the plant to take roots, Had miksat hayom kikulo amlinan, Tre miksat hayom kikulo lo amlinan. We have a principle, like we said, miksat hayom kikulo, part of the day is considered the whole day. Now, if you're going to plant it on the 14th, well, you're not planting it in the first, second of the 14th, you're planting it in the morning, let's say. So you're not getting the full 14th day. So you have to align the principle of what? Miksat hayom kikulo. That's 14, using Miksat Hayom. 15, it's full day. 16 is also Miksat Hayom. So you're getting two Miksat Hayoms. When it comes to the law of Hashrasha, we don't use two Miksat Hayom Kekulos. You can only use one Miksat Hayom Kekulo. Therefore, plant on the 13th. You plant on the 13th, so at least what? The only Miksat Hayom Kekulo you have to rely on is the 13th. Or the 16th, which means the 16th is part of the day also. But if you plant on the 14th, you're only going to have 3 days by relying on two miksat hayom kekulos. So therefore he's saying like this, really, halachically, you would be allowed to work even on the 14th. We're talking about Yehuda over here. And in Yehuda, it's mutar to do melacha. Oh, so why don't you tell him, plant on the 14th? Because he wants to beat the Omer, this guy. And you're not going to beat the Omer if you do it on the 14th. Why? You have 3 days. You have 3 days, but two of them are miksat hayom kekulos days. You're not going to beat it. You don't say Ligabash Tasha. Ligabash Tasha, you need two full days, and you can rely on one mix of them. Therefore, he told you to do it on the 13th, so for sure by the Omer you'll have Hashrasha, and you won't have a problem. So that is the right. So therefore, he tells you, you know when you'll be able to plant it? Not only on the 13th, but you'll have to be, you'll have to plant it, Rashi says, right, imayam menachesh ben ha-shemashot shel kenisat arba'asar, Havami and the Kaltabi Yudal Shanim, Ubahamisha Shanim, Umiksat Shisha Asar. Exactly, which means we let him plant it Ben Hashem Asot of the 14th. Which means let him go all the way to the end of the day and plant it Ben Hashem Asot of the 14th. So you're getting the whole 14th. On the 13th, all the way at the end of the day. So you didn't get 13. 13 doesn't count as your one day. Plant it all the way at the end of the 13th day. Right? Ben Hashem Asot, twilight. What are your 3 days now? 14 is complete. 15 is complete. 16, part of the day. Good. Except they don't go once. You say, comes the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir Omer. New point. Rabbi Meir said, כל מלאכה שיתחיל בה קודם לארבע עשר, גומרה בארבע עשר. A rule. Any מלאכה that you started before the 14th, it is permissible to finish on the 14th. Which means we're talking about a place that has a minhag not to do מלאכה on ערב פסח before חצות. So the Bimi is coming to Yahadush now. What type of מלאכה is asu to do? מלאכה that you didn't start from before. But if you started the melacha from before the 14th, even in a place that has a minhag, not to do melacha on Erev Pesach at Hatzot, he allows you to finish. Okay? So let's read that inside again. Gemara says, or Mishnah says, Rabbi Meir Omer, kol melacha shitchil ba, kodem l'arba asar, any melacha that you started before the 14th, gomra b'arba asar. You can finish it on the 14th. Aval, lo yathil ba betechila ba'arba asar. But since you're in a place that has a menag not to do melacha, you cannot start the melacha on that day. Even though you'd be able to finish it by Hatzot. Now, by extension, it would also mean that in a place that the menag is to do work, Chiddush of Mishnah, you'd even be able to start new melacha on Erev Pesach, so long as you're able to finish it by Chatzot. Rakhamim Omrim, Hachim come along and say, Gimel Umanuyot Osim Melacha Barbe Pesachim Ad Chatzot. There are three industries, professionals, that are able to do Melacha on Erev Pesach until Chatzot, even in a place that has the Minhag, not to do Melacha. Mm-hmm. What are these three professionals? The Elu and Hayatim. Hayatim would be the tailors. That Saparim would be the barbers. That Kovsim, that would be the cleaners, cleaning the clothes. Rabbi Yosef, but he would now admit, Aflatz Anim. He says, even the shoemakers. Now we're going to have to see why the rabbis gave a dispensation for these four craftsmen. Comes the Gemara and says, Ibayelehu. The Gemara asks the question. Letzorech ha-mo'ed tenan. Meaning, when Rabbi Meir gave a leniency, and he said, any melacha that you started before the 14th, you could finish on the 14th. Good. Now we want to analyze. What type of melacha are you talking about over here? Is it melacha that's for the holiday? Meaning you're doing melacha that's going to be necessary for the holiday itself. Therefore, ibaylu, letzorecha mo'ed tenan. Maybe this whole dispensation was just said because you need the melacha to be used on the holiday, right? Beneficial for the holiday. Aval shelo letzorech ha-mo'ed, but maybe if it's not for tzorech ha-mo'ed, afilu migmar name lo. Maybe I won't even let you finish. Which means, not only can't you start, but if you had started from before, if it's not for tzorech ha-mo'ed, maybe it's going to be asur. That's one option. O dilma shelo letzorech ha-mo'ed tenan, or maybe no. The Mishnah is telling you that you're allowed to finish a melacha, even if it's not letzorech ha-mo'ed. Aval letzorech, but if it's letzorech ha-mo'ed, atchule matchilinan. You can even start on Erev Pesach at Hatzot, which means that's a lenient opinion. That they're telling you, shelo letzorech, you can finish, letzorech, you can even start. Or ben letzorech ha-mo'ed, ben shelo letzorech ha-mo'ed, letzorech migmar in atchodeh lo. Or there's no difference. Maybe there's something about both. Ben tzorech, ben shelo letzorech. You can finish, but you can't start. So those are the options the Gemara is laying out for us to understand. How do you learn our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, Tashema. Come, we'll bring you a statement to prove. Aval lo yathil betchila Be'arba'asar, on the 14th you shouldn't start new work. Afilu tzilzul katan, even a tzilzul katan, tzilzul katan is a little belt. Afilu sachba ketana. Sachba ketana would be like a small hat that the ladies would put on their head, which means on Erev Pesach until Chatzot, don't even start a small melacha like making a small belt or a little hat. So the Gemara says, my afilu, what's the afilu word over there? Just say, don't start making a belt. What does it mean, afilu, even a belt? So the Gemara says, afilu hane delitzorech ha-mo'ed, even these items which you're going to wear on the holiday, afilu even, migmar in atole lo, they're only letting you finish, but not stop. And since you're starting to make it on Erev Pesach at Chatzot, it's asur. So therefore, we're taking the stringent opinion that what the only time we allowed you to finish is on an item that what it's Sorech Hamored. But even Sorech Hamored items are asur to begin on Erev Pesach. Michlal the shelo letzorech. When it comes to shelo letzorech, migmar damelo gamrinan. You can't even finish. So that's the Gemara's assumption at that point. So the Gemara says, I can learn it differently. Le'olam de'shelo le'tzorech b'gmar nami gamlinan. I can tell you that tzorech and shelo le'tzorech, you could finish. Which means both are equal. That if you started before, you could finish it after. Umay afilu. So what was the word afilu doing? Afilu hane name de'zutre ninhu. Even these items which are small. Small items, a small little belt, a small little hat. Desalka datach amina hathalatan zui gemar melachtan. I might have thought by these small items, even starting them is considered already finishing them because they're so small. So I might have considered a small item is considered as if you started it from before. Natchil beunam elchetayla. So I might think even the chetaylas mutar kamash ma'alan. No, even small items are only going to be permissible if you started before. But to start the chetayla on Erev Pesach, even a small item, asud. But I could argue that what? If you started before, everything would be mutar. Ben Netzorech Mo'ed, Ben Shelo Netzorech Mo'ed. So the Gemara does not have a clear proof to what extent the meaning of the Mishnah was being Mekeh. They tried to bring a proof that only Netzorech HaMo'ed you can finish, but Shelo Netzorech you can't even finish. Kosher can not start. But the Gemara rejected that proof. Tashema. Rabbi Meir said, "Kol melacha shehi letzorech ha-mo'ed." Very clear. Any melacha that's for the tzorech ha-mo'ed, gomra be'arba asar. He's able to finish it on the 14th, even in a place that the melacha is not to do melacha. If it's the tzorech ha-mo'ed and you started before, you could finish it. So the Gemara says, "Matai? When is this said? Bizman shehitchil ba'kodem arba asar." That's only talking about where you started the melakah from before. Aval lo yetchil ba kodem arba asar. If you didn't start from before, lo yetchil ba arba asar. You cannot continue on arba asar. Afilu tzilzul katan, even a small belt. Afilu shabka katana, even a small hat. Now, what do you see clearly from Rabbi Meir over here? Letzorech ha-mo'ed in, shelo letzorech ha-mo'ed lo. Clearly he says that the only heter to continue on Erev Pesach is if you began before. And on which items? He clearly said it. Only items of the tzorech ha-mo'ed. So that answers our question. Tzorech ha-mo'ed items, if you started before, you can continue. Mashma shelo letzorech ha-mo'ed. Even if you started before, you cannot continue. So we seemingly have a clear proof for the Bimeir. Gemara says, no. Hu adin, da'afilu shelo letzorech name gamlinam. Really? Even if it was shelo letzorech hamoed, you can complete. Yeah, so why do you only tell me tzorech hamoed you can complete? Tell me the bigger hadush. Tell me even shelo letzorech. He says, ve'akamash ma'alan, da'afilu letzorech hamoed migmar in at cholelo. It's telling you the restriction in tzorech hamoed. You might think tzorech hamoed you can even start on Erev Pesach. That's what's coming down. No. Even Surah HaMu'ed, it's only to finish. By the way, who had Deen, not that Surah HaMu'ed. But I'm only telling you by Surah HaMu'ed, because you might have thought Surah HaMu'ed, you could even be more lenient. So actually, starting it on Erev Pesach. So they've had to limit Surah HaMu'ed to tell me what, even Surah HaMu'ed is only mutar if you started before, but who had Deen, Shalom at Surah HaMu'ed as well. That's why we have no proof. Tashema. Rabbi Meir Omer Kol Melachashi Letzorech HaMu'ed Gomra Ba'arba'asar Veshe'ena Letzorech HaMu'ed Asur. So clearly Rabbi Meir, now we have a statement where he puts both situations very clearly. Letzorech HaMu'ed Mutar to finish, Shano Letzorech HaMu'ed Asur. Ve'osin Melacha Ba'arbe Pesachim Ad Chatzot. And it is permissible to do menacha until chatzot b'mkom shenagu, in a place where they have a menag. Makom shenagu in, lo nagu, lo. Which means, in a place where they have a menag to do menacha, you can do anything. In a place where they don't have a menag, it's asur. And only items that you started from before, letzorech, I'll let you continue. But shenagu letzorech, asur, shma minna. So we finally have a proof that to the extent of what the Rabbi Meir was being lenient. Comes again and continues. The rabbis were lenient when it came to three tradesmen. What were they? They were the barbers, cleaners, and the the tailors. So the Gemara says the tailors, Hayatim, Tana. Hayatim. What's the logic why the tailors are allowed to work on Erev Pesach? So the Gemara says, Sheken hediot tofer kedarko becholo shel mu'ed. Because we even found a form of tailoring that is permissible on Chol HaMu'ed. How? A hediot, which is a non-professional, if let's say he had a tear in his garment, he's allowed to sew it on Chol HaMu'ed in an unprofessional manner. So therefore, Hakimim is saying like this, if tailoring is permissible on Chol HaMu'ed, which is very stringent, we're not going to make Erev Pesach more strict than Chol HaMu'ed. And therefore, even in a place that has the menag not to do menacha, when it comes to hayatim, we'll let them... So that's going to be the basic principle over here. Anything that we're going to find dispensation on Chol HaMu'ed, the rabbis are going to be lenient on Erev Pesach. Right. Hasaparim v'akobsim. Barbers and the cleaners. The launderers. Sheken abam evidirat hayam. If a guy, let's say, came from overseas on Chol HaMu'ed, back to the city, vayotzim ebet asurim, or a guy was let out of prison on Chol HaMu'ed, misaperim u'mechabesim b'cholo shel mu'ed. If you remember, we learned in Masechet Mu'ed Katan that it is permissible for certain people to wash their clothes on Chol HaMu'ed, where everybody else is asur, and it's permissible for certain people to take haircuts. Who? A person that was out of the country. He didn't have opportunity to clean his clothes or take a haircut. When he comes back, he can do these things. Or for that matter, a person was let out of prison. So what do you see? There's a dispensation on Chol HaMu'ed for haircuts and laundering in certain situations. We're not going to make Erev Pesach more strict than Chol HaMu'ed. Therefore, we'll allow the barbers to give haircuts to anybody, and the launderers to clean clothes up until Chatzot. Even the shoemakers, meaning they can make shoes, manufacturing shoes. Sheken ole regalim metakenim min aleihem b'cholo shel mu'ed. The pilgrims that used to go up on the holiday to Yerushalayim. Now, it was aliyah la regel. What would happen to their shoes? Their shoes would fall apart. So on Chol HaMu'ed, Halakha says they're allowed to fix their shoes. So therefore, since you see dispensation of fixing shoes on Chol HaMu'ed, so the rabbi, who is this rabbi to be, Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, allowed even manufacturing. Well, he did extend it a little. Which is on Chol HaMu'ed, everybody reads, you cannot manufacture a new pair of shoes. You can just fix the old ones that you have. He came along and said, once you see on Chol HaMoed, you could fix shoes. I'm telling you, on Erev Pesach, that Tzachanim can even manufacture shoes. That the Gemara says, they might come a plea. So why is Tanakh Kama say you can't manufacture shoes on Erev Pesach? Right? He didn't. That wasn't. He only said three. Maybe Yosemite with that added the fourth. Why? How come Tanakh Kama did not add shoes? Mosabar lemedin techilat melacha besof melacha. Rabbi Yosef learns techilat melacha, meaning the manufacturing of shoes, from the sof melacha, from the fixing of shoes. Which is, he comes along and says, just like you can fix on Chol HaMoed, so if you can fix on Chol HaMoed, you can manufacture new shoes on Erev Pesach. Umar sabar. In the medin techilat melacha besof melacha. He says, no. You can't learn that you can make new shoes on Erev Pesach from the fact that you can fix shoes. Right. Fixing shoes is considered sof melacha. Right. So from sof melacha, you cannot learn techilat melacha. Therefore, they osir to make new shoes. But it's possible that they would agree that to fix shoes would be mutar. I mean, the only argument is, can you make new shoes? Okay. Comes the new Mishnah. Mishnah, Moshivim Shovachin Letanegolim Biyudalit, which means it is permissible to return the chickens into their coops on Yudalit on the 14th. You have a chicken, let's say, and you want to put it back in its nest. Why? Because you want it to sit on the eggs. When the chicken sits on the egg, so it warms up the egg and it fertilizes it, and therefore to have a it hatches, have another chick. If it doesn't sit on it, then it doesn't incubate. Yeah. So therefore, you can take the chicken and put it on the you can return it. Moshivim. Look at the top of the sheet. Moshivim shabachim. Kishenotim betzim ta'ata negonet lethamem legadet efrochim. Kari moshivim shovachim. Right, that's what it's called. You return the chickens on your dalid. The thing they're saying that is already permissible. V'tanegonet shebarcha. Let's say you have a chicken that was sitting already on the eggs. And it ran away. Mahazira ota lemkoma. So you can return it. So not only could you... You're not saying you're too dinim over here. Number one, you could put it lechatahila. And number two, if it ran away, you can return it. Now, the im meta, and let's say the chicken that was warming up the egg died. Moshiva achayre tachteya. Oh, you can take another chicken and put it in its place. Okay? Next din. Gorfin mitachat lagne behema biyuddalit. Under the animal's legs, there's excrement. So the Gemara Mishnah says, on the 14th of Nisan, Erev Pesach, it's permissible to sweep or to clean up from under the legs of the animals. But in Chol HaMoed, we don't let you, sweep it up and put it in the garbage, let's say in the dump. We just let you sweep up and put it on the side. We don't let you matriyach and toy yourself to go put it in the garbage dump. Modichim kelim umeviim mibet ha'oman. It is permissible to deliver vessels or pick up vessels from the craftsman's house. Even though you don't need these items for the holiday. Now again, we will see exactly what day we're talking. We're talking about Erev Pesach, are we talking about Chol HaMoed, before Chatzot, after Chatzot, what exactly is the case? We go back, we go to the Gemara. Gemara starts. Hashta otube motbina ahdure mebaya. You told me in the beginning of the Mishnah, lechatechila, you can go place chickens on the eggs to heat them up. Do you have to tell me that you could return them if they ran away? If I go lechatechila and put the chicken on the egg, or the most of it was there before and it ran away, certainly I'd be allowed to return it. That's called chicken. If I could put it lechatechila, called chicken, I could return it. So comes the Gemara and says, Now again, the Mishnah clearly said this about on the 14th. This is right talking about on the 14th of Nisan, Erev Pesach, which means even that we say it's asur to do melacha on Erev Pesach, let's say even after Chatzot, this is not considered melacha. Yeah, this is not considered melacha. Putting a chicken on an egg is not considered already melacha. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Abaye, Sefa Atan Necholosh El Mu'ed. We're talking about two different days over here. On Erev Pesach, it's permissible Lechatahila to put a chicken on the egg, to fertilize it. On Chol HaMu'ed, where we're more strict, it's only permissible to return it if it left. So comes the Gemara now and explains. Let's read that top Rashi, please, in the Gemara. Sefa, Diktani Machazinim Becholosh HaMu'ed Kamar, Nachi Kamar, Moshivin Shomechim B'Yudalit, B'Tanigolot Shebarcha Becholosh HaMu'ed, Machazinim Otam Meshum Hefsed Betzim. The Devar HaAved Mutar. That's the reason why it's Mutar. Because what's going to happen? Once the egg is starting to fertilize, and now the chicken runs away, it's in mid-stage now. That egg over there, you can't use it for anything. It didn't turn into a chick. It's not the uif achila. Therefore, it's going to be davara aved. And the law is davara aved, something that's going to cause monetary loss is permissible on chol HaMu'ed. So now the Gemara is going to teach us a little about the fertilization process of chickens on eggs. So the Gemara says, Amar avuna, lo shanu ela tok shelosha limirda. It's only talking if you return the chicken to the egg within 3 days of its rebellion. Mm-hmm. Because the chicken rebelled, it ran away. If you get the chicken within 3 days, it's okay. Why? The akati lo parach simra mine. Because the chicken itself has body heat. So, and it's the body heat of the chicken that causes the egg to fertilize. Within 3 days of his rebellion, the chicken is still hot. Therefore, if you put it back, it'll do something. But after 3 days already, the body heat of the chicken goes away, and therefore returning it is not going to do anything. Now, ve'achar shelosha lishivata. And it has to be a case only where it at least sat on the egg for 3 days. So you need two items here. It sat on the egg for 3 days, because once already it sits on the egg for 3 days, the peseda la be'eh, the gamre. After sitting on for 3 days already, the fertilization process begins. Now it's not a chick yet, but it's also not ta'ui to eat. So therefore, on Chol HaMu'ed, to put it back, it's got to be two things. It's got to be first, it sat at least for 3 days, and you returned it within 3 days of its rebellion. Aval, le'achar shlosha le'mirda, if you didn't return it within 3 days after its rebellion, the parach la tzimra mineh, finish, doesn't have any heat, not going to help you. V'toch shelosha lishivata, or it's within 3 days of its sitting, the akatelo paste be'ay legamre, the egg is still edible. Within 3 days, the fertilization didn't start yet, therefore, there's no hefsed. Lo madrina, therefore you cannot return it. So you need the two qualifications of what I was telling you. It's got to be within 3 days of when it ran away, and it had to be sitting on the chicken, sitting on the egg for at least 3 days. Rabbi Ame Amar afilu toch shelosha lishivata madrina. He's on it. Even within three, put him back on the chicken, put him back on the egg. Now, why? The egg within three, it's still edible. And therefore, there's no loss over here. Let him eat let him eat. See, the whole logic of Rav Huna was what? That after 3 days already, the egg is in mid-stage. It's not edible, and it's not a chick. Therefore, it's hefsed. Therefore, what? Go put the chicken back on the egg. But within 3 days, Rav Huna says, eat it. Here now, Rabbi Ami's coming along to say, even if it sat on the egg, even within 3 days, and then ran away, put it back. Why? They might come and play again. What's the machloket over here? Mor sabar lefsed merubah hasheshu. One rabbi says that we only allow you on Chol HaMoed if it's a major loss. Lehefsid mu'at no chashishu. But on a minor loss, no. Umor sabar lehefsid mu'at na mechashishu. Even on a minor loss, the rabbis were concerned. Which means like this. The chicken sits on this egg. Within 3 days, it's still edible. But you know what? It's edible by some people, but it's not a regular egg anymore. So therefore, technically, there is a minor loss over here. Because it's not a regular edible egg that most people eat. Mm-hmm. According to the first rabbi, they'll say, no, no, no. This is not considered a hefsid. This is only hefsid mu'at. Hefsid mu'at, I'm not going to allow you to put the chicken back on the egg in order to save you from a minor loss. Because technically, you could still eat it. However, Rav Dimi, he says, no, no, no. Even hefsid mu'at is considered a hefsid. And therefore, even though technically you can eat it, but bottom line, you can't sell this egg for the same price anymore. Therefore, he says, even within 3 days, if the chicken was sitting on it, return it. So the machloket over here, within 3 days, is what extent of hefsid did they allow on Chol HaMoed? Did they only allow hefsid merubah? Or did they even allow hefsid mu'at? If you say they allowed even hefsid mu'at, so therefore, put the chicken back. Because this is only a small loss, because technically it does have value still, because it was in 3 days. Doesn't matter. If it's in what, put it back. Get it to become a full-fledged chick. However, the other rabbi says, nah, it's only if it's in what. Go eat it. Go. That's a small loss. Oh, but if it's already sat for 3 days, now you lost the whole leg. That's already considered hefsid merubah. Everybody would agree you can put the chicken back. Comes the Gemara and continues. Gorfin mitahat. Right, we said that you're allowed to shovel or clean from under the legs of the animals. Mm-hmm. Right, the excrement. So the Gemara, Tanurabana. Hazevel shebachaser. You have, let's say, zevel, excrement in the courtyard. Misalkin oto listadin. So on Chol HaMoed, we'll see when, but you cannot shovel it and bring it all the way to the garbage dump. You just shovel it to the sides. Shebirefet v'shebechatzir, if it's in the corral, refet is where the animals are, v'shebechatzir, or in the courtyard, motzi'in oto le'ashpa, you could bring it to the garbage dump. Now obviously we have a contradiction over here. The Gemara says, Aguf Agashia. We have a question intrinsically in these two statements. Why? Amart zevel shebachaser misalkin oto destadin. You told me that the zevel and the chaser, what do? You just shovel it to the sides. Ve'adar tani shebereft v'shebachaser motzi'in oto le'ashpa. Then you just told me the stuff in the chaser, you can bring it to the ashpa. Make up your mind. Amarabaye lakashia. Can be yudalid. Come b'cholos shel moed. It depends what we're talking about. On Erev Pesach, you're allowed to shovel the excrement in the chatzer and even bring it to the ashpa, even to the garbage dump. On cholos shel moed, we don't want you to work so much. Therefore, you can shovel it, but just to the side, but not bring it to the garbage dump. So that's the that's going to be the difference. Okay. Good. Comes the Gemara and says, Rava Amar. Rava has a different interpretation. Ha veha b'chodosh shel mo'ed. Both brayot are talking on Chol HaMoed. How could that be? One brayot that says on Chol HaMoed, shovel it and put it to the side. The other brayot that says shovel it in the tachatzer and put it in the garbage. So the Gemara answers, V'achi ka'amar, im na'asa chaser karefet, it depends how bad the chatzir is. If the chatzir becomes so filled with zevil that it's like a corral of animals, then the rabbis will lean on Chol HaMoed even to take it and put it in the garbage dump. Tirha, no, you gotta get rid of it. However, if the chatzir is not so filled with zevil, on Chol HaMoed, then we tell you just to misalek it to the sides. ברוך הנועד לעולם, אמן ואמן.